Well, it's a pleasure to be here again. Get clear of the voice here. And among friends, some of you I've known a long time. Happy birthday, Dick. I knew Dick when he was in his late 30s. Knew Liliana, he goes by Cynthia, almost 30 years ago I knew her. So some of you who I've known a long time. Our message today has to do with conditions at the end of time. And I've looked and I've thought about a lot of things. You guys watch the news as well as I do. The situation in America today is sometimes discouraging. Don't watch the news. And I'm thinking about the churches in America. Protestants now are down to about 51% of the people in the United States. Attendance is between 20 and 40% of the people that attend church regularly. That is disputed. Islam is on the rise around the world. In fact, in the period between 1990 and 2000, there were 12.5 million more converts to Islam than to Christianity. 80% of the Muslims live outside the Arab countries. In the United States, 8% of the people do not believe there is a God. Atheism has climbed to the height of 30 million people in the United States. And to make it worse, the millennials, I don't want to discourage you, but we have a big job to do, folks. The millennials, only 23% of them say that their guide to right and wrong is their faith. 80% of them say that right and wrong depends on the situation. No absolute truth, Troy. As we were saying in Sabbath school. We find that here in the United States, 24% believe in reincarnation. Because Eastern religions are on the rise rapidly. 23% believe in yoga as a spiritual practice, even though they may be Christians. We have native religions that believe in worship of nature. A lot of people, what did Paul say? They worship the created rather than the creator. Satanism, New Age, here in the United States, is one of the fastest growing segments of our population. They have Wicca, for example. Everybody's heard of Wicca. They have an average growth of 143% per year. Could you imagine the Seventh-day Adventist Church growing that fast? It'd be well over a million people a year, or 1.5 million people a year in the United States. They say that today, in 2019, there are as many as 1.5 million witches in the United States. I was visiting a home once and studying with a family, and a young girl came in. She says, "Oh, yes, I'm a witch." I said, "How's that going for you?" She said, "Well, I'm not a black witch. I'm a white witch." It's on the rise, folks. Astrology, 25% of the overall public, including 23% of Christians, believe in astrology. And 15% acknowledge that they have consulted a psychic or a fortune teller. On the rise also is Pentecostalism. And according to the Hartford Institute of Religious Research, Christianity is in for a new wave, Pentecostalism, in the world. It promises to reshape Christianity in the 21st century. Of the world's Christians, Pentecostals and Charismatics have grown. 1970, they were 6%. By 1997, they were 27%. And today, there are nearly 600 million Pentecostals and Charismatics in the world. Margaret Paloma of the Department of Sociology at the University of Akron says that it's not simply a new denomination. And get this, Pentecostalism is not a denomination. It's a movement. She says it's analogous to the rise of Protestantism and the Protestant Reformation. The Pentecostal world holds that ours is a world of miracles, of mystery, healings, prophecy, and divine serendipity. And they're all woven into the fabric of everyday life. They have glossolalia, which levels the ground between educated and uneducated. And I have talked to those who said they left one of these churches because they never did talk in tongues, or at least they couldn't fake it. I was in a meeting once, Troy and I were talking about prison ministries, and there was a group, and we were all gathered in a circle, and one of the men said, "Last night I dreamed we were having this meeting." And the guy about two down says, "I will interpret that dream." And he started jabbering in gibberish, and then he interpreted the dream. So I said, "Well, thank you, let's move on." And that's what we see in our society today. You know, and there's a reason for this, too. In Scripture, in Joel 2, verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." In Mark 16, verse 17, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with tongues, they will take up serpents, they will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay on hands on the sick, and they will recover." One fellow came to a meeting, one of these same meetings, and he says, "You know, you don't need to read the Bible. Just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you." And I told him, "Be careful, there's more than one Spirit out there. There's more than one Spirit." Yes, the Spirit will be poured out in the latter days, and we know that. We know that this is going to happen within our church. Right? Do we talk in tongues? Do we speak in tongues? Almost 1,000 languages around the world. I speak in tongues every Sabbath. I have a Spanish Sabbath school class that I have over in the other church. But aren't we blessed? God has blessed us. We don't have to speak all of those languages, but His people speak in tongues all around the world. Are there healings? Do we have hospitals and clinics? And has He given us all of this divinely inspired information to help humanity? Yes. In John, Jesus says, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." And there are those, unless they see the signs and wonders, will not believe. Matthew 24, we just read, there'll be false prophets that deceive many. And they will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. What kind of deception is that? Let's look into it. In 2 Corinthians 11, you all know these texts. Starts with verse 13 to 15, if you're looking them up. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." We're told at the end, Satan will appear claiming to be Jesus. Right? You guys all read that. And here Paul is saying that Satan can appear. And when he appears, he will talk like Jesus. He will look like Jesus. He will look like the Jesus in Revelation 1. Bright light around him. Beautiful white flowing hair. Everything that it describes in Revelation 1. And he will teach some of the same things that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. In this melodious voice. But is that a deception or not? And he will be healing. And he has workers that will be healing. For it says, if Satan can do this, then why can't his followers present themselves as ministers of light? The assumptions are these. If they can work miracles, then they're close to Jesus. Right? Isn't that a good thing to assume? They can work miracles, they must be close to Jesus. There are a lot of miracle workers. You guys have seen some on television. Healing people. There was even one case I read about. It was a doctor down in Florida said that a person died. Necrosis had set in. Parts of the body were turning black. And he brought them back to life through prayer. In Africa, they claim that a person was dead 1 or 2 days and was brought back to life. Interesting. Would that be a deception? Yes. But the assumptions are that they're close to Jesus. And they have more faith than other Christians. A faith healer must have more faith than other Christians. They teach the truth. They can lead you to salvation. Aren't these good assumptions if you see somebody working these kinds of miracles? That's what will happen. How many Adventists will fall into the trap? I do not know. I do not say that knowing these things will save you. But what will happen is that when we see these things taking place in the world, it will strengthen our faith. We'll say, I read about that. I know what's going on. Just like the disciples, when they had all the prophecies about Jesus, it didn't help them until they took place. And then it strengthened their faith. So keep reading the scriptures. And our faith will be strengthened when we see these things taking place. In Matthew 7, verse 22... I think you alluded to this morning, Troy. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Matthew 27, starting with 22. Have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So if he didn't know them, somebody else was working the miracles. You know, I have seen miracles take place. I used to work as a bush pilot for the church, a mission pilot, and working among the Indians and then down in South America, there were miracles. One of the guys that I was working with saw levitation. It was a real levitation. saw an Indian that had a burst appendix. He was dying. He says, no, the witch doctor's going to come and he will heal me. The next week I came back. He said the witch doctor came, sprinkled a powder, did a little ceremony, and instantly it went away. You know, when you have a rotting gut, it just doesn't go away immediately. And they could see things, they could see the future. They talked about, I don't want to go into all these things, but these witch doctors have some kind of contact with the supernatural. Well, in another text, before I leave that one, notice it says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, anomia, nomos is law, anomia or anomos means against the law. So they're working against the law while they're working these miracles. That's how you know if it's genuine or not, by the way, right? Now you know the secret. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you might want to look this up. Chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one. Notice the word lawless. Coming of the lawless one is talking about the great apostasy in the Christian church. Is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth about God, what's talking about here, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them, what? A strong delusion. You mean God is deceiving them? No. God is allowing Satan to do things he has never allowed him to do before. Raising the dead. Now, they're really not being raised from the dead. This is the appearance that they're being raised from the dead. He brings them down to a state where it looks like they're dead, and Satan can bring them up again. In Revelation 13, verse 11, he says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He performs great, what? Signs. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven of the earth in the sight of men. This is a reference back to the days of Elijah, when he was on the mountain with 700 prophets of Baal. And you remember what happened there? The sign that he was the true representative of God was the fire coming down from God. So it says this will happen again. Remember, if they can work such miracles that God has only allowed his prophets to do in the past, they will be seen as true prophets of God. Listen to what they say. Listen to their message. Listen, if they talk against God's law, anomia, listen to them. They must be of God. Look at the miracles. So in Revelation 13, that's why it says, he even makes fire come down from heaven. It's a reference to the days of Elijah. And it says in Revelation 13, 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs or miracles which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. See, he was granted the power to do these things. Revelation 18 says, talking about Babylon falling, it says, by your sorcery, if you're looking for that, it's Revelation 2 and verse 23, 18, 2 and 23. Babylon the great has fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons. And then verse 23, by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. You get to chapter 16, and the vial is poured out of the sixth angel, 16:12. And he says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. There's a reason for the frogs, by the way. That's the last one that they were able to, the false prophets of Egypt could duplicate, you know. But coming out of these frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So that's just symbolic of referring back to the plagues of Egypt that they were able to duplicate. But it says, for they are spirits of demons performing what? Miracles, which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked. Now I'm starting to talk about God's people. What's this about the garments? Revelation 19 says that of his church, it was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. So, how do you do that? Another identification of his true people in Revelation 14, 12 says that they keep his commandments and have the testimony of Jesus, so spirit of prophecy. Are we reading our Bibles? Are we reading the spirit of prophecy? Even if we read it as devotional material, just good devotional material, especially the Conflict of the Ages series, we will be a people that have a deeper experience. We're closer to Christ. And remember this, when all these voices are going out in the world, God's people will know the voice of their Savior. They know his voice. That's what Jesus said in the book of John, right? The sheep know his voice, and they will follow him. I don't think we need to be too worried about following him if we're studying the scriptures. One of the things is that they keep the commandments of God. Is there any problem with commandment keeping today in the world? I mean, it's becoming lawless, isn't it? ID theft. There are 17 million ID thefts involving $17 billion a year. 85 to 90% have experienced premarital sex. 54% say they have cohabitated at some time in their life. And we have a 65% divorce rate. By the way, it's higher in those who have cohabitated. In a world today, we have lost sight of the Creator. If our children had been keeping the Sabbath, and I'm talking to all churches now, a lot of Protestant churches see about 70% of their kids walking away after they reach adulthood. If they had been keeping the Sabbath, they wouldn't be listening to the teachers teaching what in school? Evolution. They're giving up God. There's a quote that I'd like to read here as we're coming close to the end. I don't want to go too long. It says, every form of evil is to spring into intense activity. Evil angels unite their powers with evil men. And as they have been in constant conflict and attained an experience in the best modes of deception and battle, and have strengthened for centuries, they will not yield the last great final contest without a desperate struggle. All the world will be on one side or the other of the question. The battle of Armageddon will be fought, and that day must find none of us sleeping. Wide awake, we must be wise as virgins, having oil in our vessels and our lamps. So how do we know we have an experience? I hear people say, you know, it's not what you do that matters, it's having experience with Christ, which is a true statement, by the way. But they never explain what a true experience with Christ is. Who are those that are his true children? How do you know you have an experience with Christ and the Holy Spirit? Or are we one of those that says, I am rich and become wealthy and have nothing, need of nothing? But he says, do you not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? You know, if we realize that we're poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked, we probably have an experience with Christ. God's people, if you really know what that experience is about, you know, in John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. It's talking about justification and sanctification there. And cleanse us. Do we have true repentance for our sins in your daily prayers? I mean, it's good to have the family worship. We always have family worship. Do you have personal worship? Do you confess your sins? Do you have sorrow for your sins that have been committed? Maybe that spirituality is measured by how much time we spend on our knees. This is true worship of God. This is how we have the Spirit. Does the Spirit bring conviction? Without that conviction, would we confess? No. And he speaks to us through his word, doesn't he? So every day in the word, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And we repent of our sins. We speak to him, he speaks back to us. Two-way communication. Can you have a relationship without two-way communication? Some of you are married. You know the answer to that. Without that two-way communication, there is no relationship. And that's the secret. So many times you hear people say, well, you should have a relationship. They never say how, but this identifies those who have that relationship. And it leads them to love God with all their heart and other people as themselves, the Ten Commandments. That is what we're looking for. So when these strange manifestations take place in the world, this is not going to convince us to follow God. We were already following him. But it should build our faith. So look for them. Look for them as you look through them out there in the news, reading articles. You see these things begin to happen. I think it's going to be bigger than we even imagine. Not just here and there, but it's going to be all over. And as God's people receive the Spirit, as it says in Joel 2, the rest of the world is going to also receive a spirit, because the devil always does what? He always has a counterfeit. And it's coming. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we pray that we may be wide awake. We may not be caught sleeping, but help us to be aware of your presence in our lives. Help us to constantly be seeking your Spirit. As David says, do not take your Spirit from me. And though my sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Father, this is our plea today, that we may have this close relationship with you and your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.